Welcome to the second episode of Horoscope Witch. This is Mal, and if you listened to my first podcast and now you're back for the second one, thank you so much. I've named this second episode Peter Pan and Your Birth Chart, Rediscovering Your Life Path. So in this episode, I will be telling you your exact life path and how to solve all of your problems. Just kidding. But guys, the first episode got like 40 listens, and I honestly can't believe that. I was really just making this podcast for fun, and I thought maybe like 5 people would listen to it tops, and like 3 of these people would only listen to it out of pity. But thanks so much if you tuned in, and now you can listen to me on both iTunes and Spotify. So if you are listening on iTunes this time around, if you feel so inclined to subscribe to this podcast, please do. And even better, if you want to leave me some stars, that would be good too. Also, before we continue, it occurred to me that I really wanted to make it clear that I'm only speaking about astrology and tarot cards and everything else from a place of a student. So I am just a student. I am not a teacher. I am certainly not an expert, and I would never want to fall into this sort of guru mentality where people are looking to me for answers about their lives. And just so you know, no matter how psychic or intuitive a person is, you know, only you can really dictate your life, because you're the one who has free will, right? And yes, in any legitimate view of astrology, free will absolutely exists. And it would be foolish to think you are just some kind of puppet being controlled by the movements of the planets. That's really not what astrology is saying at all. Astrology is more about what the planets are doing and how they are influencing you. But more importantly, it's how you decide to harness this energy, right? And you always have a choice whether to do something or not, despite what's going on in the universe. For instance, with all these retrogrades going on, with all these eclipses, it's a great opportunity to completely turn a new leaf, really, you know, change your life. But if you don't want to, you don't have to. So yeah, it's all got to do with your free will. And again, I'm just a student sharing stuff about what I'm learning with you and how much it excites me. I'm not a guru, or would I ever claim to be an expert. So also, there's really no such thing as a person who has all the answers, right? I mean, as humans, I don't really think we can become 100% enlightened in our lifetime, right? If we do become enlightened, as the story goes, you supposedly die right afterwards because you've let go of all earthly attachments. So my point being, there's really no such thing as like a truly enlightened person walking around, right? Even the Dalai Lama admits that he still struggles with some humanly challenges. I mean, he's a human. So even if you meet an intuitive person who you want them to help you, if they're acting like the voice of God, you should be skeptical, okay? Because no one is perfect, as nobody's perfect, as Hannah Montana would say. And also, this podcast is a very safe, welcoming place for skeptics. I love skeptics. In fact, I consider myself some sort of skeptic. And I think I attract a lot of skeptics into my life because it's part of my life path to deliver spirituality in some way to people who may be disconnected from spirit. So yeah, just so you know, be skeptical of me. I invite you to be skeptical of this podcast and never stop questioning anything, right? So on the subject of gurus, I want to just talk about this for like 2 seconds. I recently watched a Netflix documentary about the guru Osho. The documentary is called Wild Wild Country. I'll put it in the show notes. If you are a psychology buff or a religion buff or any kind of history, American history, I guess, buff, you'll literally be foaming at the mouth watching this documentary because it's so interesting. But what I found the most disturbing thing about the guru Osho and his followers was that it was very apparent that Osho was presenting himself as an enlightened being who was somehow above suffering. Somehow he had cured himself of suffering, quote unquote. And what's worse is that people were looking to him for answers and worshipped him and thought he could end their suffering. I just want you guys to know that, in case anybody's never told you this, A, only you have the keys to your own prison, right? Only you can unlock yourself from suffering. No one else has those keys. Jesus don't have those keys. Buddha don't have those keys. Muhammad don't have those keys. Only you have those keys, right? Even if you subscribe to an idea of God in a certain religion, only you can end your suffering. And B, when we start to look at people as gurus or as heroes or as these mentors who can do no wrong, we're always disappointed, because every human has suffering. Every human has challenges. Every human will disappoint us in some way, despite how they may present themselves. So this is why, back to astrology, this is why turning to astrology in times of suffering or when we're feeling lost is a really great thing, because astrology allows you to be your own guru, your own hero, your own mentor. Because astrology teaches you the shit that you already inherently know, okay? It teaches you the knowledge that you were born with, in a sense, and it helps you reconnect to your soul, who you are, why you're here, and why your soul chose to come to Earth and experience all the challenges that life on Earth may present us. Now, I'm not saying that if you're feeling lost right now, you shouldn't go see your therapist or get a really good tarot card reading or something like that, because you totally should, because that stuff is awesome. But know that no one is going to do the healing work for you, right? No one is going to get you unlost but yourself. The reason I'm saying that all this right now is I think I have an intuitive feeling that most people who are listening to this right now are feeling lost in some way. Maybe because you're around the same age as me. By the way, I'm 23 Earth years old. It's debatable how many past lives I've lived, but I feel pretty old. I feel like I've been alive longer than that, but I'm only 23 Earth years old. And if you're around the same age as me, or maybe you're not, and that's okay too, if you're around the same age as me, you may be feeling super lost right now, because when you're my age, you're already lost in general. You don't fully know who you are. You don't fully know what your purpose is. You don't know where you're going. You're easily led astray from your path. But also, with the added bonus of all these planets in retrograde, we just had 3 major eclipses, a ton of shit's going on in the universe, like I talked about in the first podcast. So you may be feeling like extra lost, like in the sense that you feel like you don't even know who you are anymore. Some part of your ego has died. Some major part of yourself has died. A relationship has died. A really important relationship has died, maybe. And I'm not necessarily talking about physically like, I don't think the person actually died, but just the relationship is over. Or maybe you did experience a physical death of someone as well, but really you just feel like the last few months have maybe just fucked you up, and you feel like you have nothing, and you feel like you're a dried out sponge, and you're lost. And I want you to know, if you're feeling lost in some way right now, and be open to what I'm about to say, what if I told you that the moment your soul decided to come to Earth, it already had a plan. It already knew your life path and your life purpose and what you were supposed to do. And as humans, life is just kind of like a mystery to get back in touch with this soul part of us, right? Because the soul is never confused about what we're supposed to be doing. The soul never says, like, who am I? Or the soul never has self-hatred or self-judgment, right? The soul always loves itself and knows its power and knows it has the right to take up space in some way. But it's your ego and your monkey mind that can be easily led astray, right? From your soul's true path. And why is that? It's not easy to grow up in these intense societal conditionings that tell us we need to be this or that. And all of that, this or that, can lead us away from our soul. And I think it's really important to remember that we're connected to our souls as children, but somehow this gets taken away. And this is where I can kind of get into Peter Pan. Also, I feel like maybe if you're resistant to the idea of a soul, it's just a little bit too woo-woo for you. That's okay. I mean, you can still enjoy this podcast, and I think you'll still get something out of my little Peter Pan epiphany, as I've been calling it. So, on August 11th, which was about 5 days ago, a week ago, it was our last eclipse of the summer in Leo. So on August 11th, or the days following, you may have felt some very intense emotions in various ways, depending on which houses were affected by Leo in your chart. If you don't know what I'm talking about, hang tight. We're going to get to the birth chart stuff at the end here, and also next episode. But yeah, it was the August 11th eclipse. And my Scorpio friend had visited that weekend, and she brought a bunch of movies on a hard drive, and I obviously stole all that shit and downloaded a bunch of her movies onto my computer. And, you know, I live in rural Malaysia. I have nothing better to do besides watch movies and create this podcast, apparently. So one of the movies I ended up downloading is the movie Hook, which is one of my favorite childhood films. And if you've seen the movie, you know that Robin Williams plays a sort of grown-up and jaded version of Peter Pan who's completely forgotten his life at Neverland, right? Now he's just an adult working on Earth. He doesn't remember Neverland at all. And what's weird is that I haven't been able to watch anything Robin Williams in a long time, because his death truly devastated me. I've never been so saddened by a celebrity's death in my life. And I think it's because as a kid, my favorite movies were Hook and Mrs. Doubtfire. And I also love that movie August Rush. And pretty much I love anything that Robin Williams did. Dead Poets Society, come on, that's a classic. So after he died, it was kind of, and in the way he died, it was kind of too much for me to watch anything by him, or with him in it. But on August 11th, after my Scorpio friend left my house, I started watching Hook. And I realized within the first 20 minutes of this film that Peter Pan is about astrology and it's about birth charts. It's actually one of the major keys to your soul's purpose is the true meaning of Peter Pan. The creepiest part of all of this whole story was that I started wondering about Robin Williams's birth chart and his planetary placements, because like it's me and I'm a Pisces, and yeah, I wonder about everybody's birth charts, and I usually have a pretty good idea of people's birth charts when I'm talking to them or whatnot. So out of curiosity, I Googled his birth chart, and I realized he died on August 11th, which is the same day I felt compelled to watch this movie. So I was like, that is so creepy. Like, we have that 11-11, you know, that's one of my numbers. And I don't believe in coincidences. So this told me that there was some kind of message within this movie that I needed to bring forth to some people. So I decided to kind of incorporate it into this podcast. And by the way, if you haven't seen this movie, don't worry. I mean, you should watch it because it's a really good movie. But all you really need to know are the basics of the story of Peter Pan, which I am assuming most people know. And Robin in Hook, in this movie Hook, Robin Williams' character Peter has grown up. Like I said, he left Neverland, and he's completely forgotten everything that happened to him before 13 years old. He has no early childhood memories. Now, as an adult, he's a huge boss at this company, and he's always on the phone. He's missing his son's baseball games. He's talking on the phone during his daughter's play. He's just never present for his family, and his wife is constantly like, can you get off the fucking phone? Like, I think we all know maybe at least one dad or a mom like this. Maybe it's our own parent, or maybe it's your friend's parent, but it's the kind of parent that is like so invested in their work that they're not really present for anything, or they just like miss a lot of our shit because work is a priority, like their only priority, sometimes it can seem. So that's like the kind of parent that Robin Williams is playing. So the part that really got me was when Robin Williams, or Peter, is talking to his grandma Wendy. They call her Grandma Wendy, but in reality, Wendy is an older woman, but she remembers when Peter was Peter Pan, and now Wendy has seen Peter grow up and have a family, and Wendy has seen him kind of diminish, and she's looking at him, and she knows that he has no focus on his family, no focus on his true life path. He's so preoccupied with work, he's completely forgotten his childhood that she remembers. And finally, Grandma Wendy, she says, Peter, you've become a pirate. And that moment, I burst into tears, and I realized this whole thing is about astrology. Now, hang tight with me for a second, okay? I'm gonna make my point, but take a second. You know, it's easy to think that the moral or the message of Peter Pan is never grow up, but it's not, okay? The real message of Peter Pan and Hook is actually never stop being a kid. And you're probably like, Matt, what are you talking about? Never grow up and never stop being a kid are the same thing. But there's a huge difference between those two phrases, because never grow up means like you're not growing. You're not developing. You may be physically growing. You may look older, but you are staying in the same place. You're not facing or you're avoiding the necessary life challenges that come with being an adult. And it's these very challenges that like support our spiritual growth, right? We can't come into our own without a challenge. Life would be boring if we didn't have these challenges. but we've all seen a person, maybe, you know, in their early 20s, like, maybe it's even you right now, if you're in your early 20s, you know, this is a person who's in a very toxic, never grow up kind of phase. Maybe they're drinking heavily every day, they're using drugs in an unhealthy way, or maybe they're just moving from toxic relationship to toxic relationship. And that's like that never grow up mentality. It's not healthy. But the true message of Peter Pan, which is never stop being a kid, that's an extremely positive message. Because you can still grow up and never stop being a kid at the same time. Because never stopping being a kid isn't about irresponsibility or immaturity. No, it's about being in touch with your inner child and being in touch with what you loved as a kid, and also your spirituality as a kid. A lot of people would say that some of the most spiritual times in our life are when we're very young, right? Maybe when you were younger, you had some sort of spiritual experience that maybe you saw a ghost, maybe you talked to your ancestors in your dreams, or maybe you just felt more connected to animals or nature. For instance, like, I can remember me and my brother in our backyard as kids, and a bunny rabbit just came up to us and we started to pet it. And now thinking back to that moment, I'm like, a bunny rabbit would have never came up to an adult, right? It only came up to a kid, because we were vibrating on this frequency of innocence and spirituality and self-love. It was a time when we didn't learn to judge ourselves yet, right? We just had this pure joy, and we just did things that we liked because we liked them. That's the simplicity of being a kid, and that's the simplicity that we lose. Now, I think we can all remember maybe a formative moment or experience, or maybe several, where we stopped being a kid, when we lost our childhood somehow. And I apologize, because I don't mean to like trigger anybody, but because these moments can be very painful and traumatic to think back on, like, what was the moment when you stopped being a kid? But like Robin Williams and Hook, he can't remember anything before age 13, right? That represents the fact that his life started at the moment when he stopped being a kid. And that's when he lost his childhood loves and his childhood passions, and he got sucked into the system of patriarchal oppression and capitalism. And maybe you're like, Mal, that's bullshit. Like, a 13-year-old can't be sucked into the system of patriarchal oppression and capitalism. They're 13. Well, why do you think the government makes you take all those standardized tests, okay? All the teachers I know hate standardized tests. And literally anyone who has any knowledge of the study of education knows that standardized tests are a load of bullshit. Well, why do we have to take them then? It's because we're being trained to see ourselves as just a number or just a score. If we can see ourselves as just a score as a child, this is really good for the system of oppression, because then as adults, we can just see ourselves as the amount of money we are making, right? So we go from seeing ourselves as a score on a test to then seeing ourselves as a paycheck later in life. And this can be seriously detrimental. So what is my point? Well, if we're feeling lost right now with all the things that are happening, I would invite you to actually go back to the moment when you stopped being a kid, just like Robin Williams does in Hook. Go back to the moment where you left Neverland in a weird way, and kind of think, like, who was I before I stopped being a kid? Who was I when I allowed myself to be myself without judging myself? Because a lot of the reasons we lose sight of who we are and where we are going is because we lose sight of who we were as children. I mean, now I'm not saying that is like if you were 5 years old and your dream was to be an astronaut. I'm not saying quit your job and go be an astronaut unless that truly is what your gut is telling you. But maybe you have to get more connected with, well, why did you want to be an astronaut? Did adventures excite you? Are you living a life that allows you to have adventures? Or are you living a life that really does not fulfill you and allows you no adventure? And like I said, in my eyes and in a lot of other people's eyes, we're the most connected to spirit as children. And it's in this transition in and out of childhood when we lose that connection from spirit, and thus we lose the connection with what our soul really wants from us. So if we actually start our life at the point where we stop being children, that's going to lead us down a path that's really unfulfilling. It's not going to have our soul's purpose. We're just going to be building and building on what society wants from us in a weird way. We're going to be building on every internalized judgment we have against ourselves. We're going to be building on our self-hatred. We're going to be building on this false, disingenuine idea that we need to make a certain amount of money, right? So if we can get back to that point and really sit with it for a second, that can kind of give us some answers to why we're feeling so lost right now. And hey, here's the thing, here's another, maybe you think you're doing what you wanted to do as a child, but you're still unhappy. Let me tell you, that was so me, because as a kid I loved writing stories and reading and making up characters and imaginary friends. I really lived in this extremely imaginative world as a kid. And I thought it was my destiny to be a writer and write stories and novels and poems, because that's what I liked to do as a kid. I liked to write stories and read. But I thought I was still staying connected to my childhood passions as an adult. But my ego got so involved, especially in college. I started to write not because I loved it anymore, but because I wanted the praise of my professors and my mentors and my peers. I wanted people to think I was really talented and really good. And towards senior year of college, I was writing only because I wanted the ticket, the golden ticket to grad school, and I wanted the golden ticket to get published. So every time I sat down to make my art, I had this like voice in the back of my head that was like, this has to be good enough to get published, whatever good enough means, right? And in that way, just like Wendy tells Peter, you've become a pirate, I became a pirate doing the thing that I loved to do as a kid, and that can totally happen as well. How does that happen? It all has to do with ego. It has to do with monkey mind. I was seeking validation, and all of my self-worth was kind of bundled up into whether people viewed me as a good writer or not. And that's not really what my childhood self wanted when I was writing little stories as a kid, right? As a kid, I was just doing that to make myself happy. And honestly, a lot of my stories as a kid were very supernatural, were very much about metaphysical topics. And I think that's really what I loved. You know, I was always interested in the spiritual world, and I wanted to tell stories about that. And again, we get disconnected. Everybody gets disconnected. At some point, everybody's building their life on the point when they stopped being a kid. And kids just don't have a lot of ego attached to the things they like to do, right? Kids like animals because they like them. They like cooking because they like it. They like putting together puzzles because it's fun. They just like something because they like it. That's the end of it. There are no motives behind why they like it, right? It's like, it's without judgment. It's without ego. They're just doing what they love because it makes them happy, right? So this kind of goes back to Peter Pan and Robin Williams, and it's not until Robin Williams's character goes back to Neverland that he finally finds his soul again, right? He finds his childhood happiness, and he has a rememory of who he was as a kid. He finally remembers he's Peter Pan. He sees his face, his childhood face, in the reflection of a pond, and it's a really great moment in the movie. And after that, that's kind of when he is able to fly again. Literally, he knows how to fly again. He remembers who he was as a kid. And that's really what I want you to, would like to invite us to do as a group now, if you're listening to my podcast. Now, as we kind of get back in touch with our childhood and this message that Peter Pan has for us, never stop being a kid, we can also really beautifully integrate that soul lesson with our birth chart, right? So next, I'm going to get into our birth charts. So what does astrology have to do with Peter Pan or getting back to our true childhood selves? You're probably like, yeah, Mal, like, I get what you're saying about Peter Pan, sure, but if I'm feeling lost, what does my birth chart have to do with it? Well, let's talk about birth charts for a second. And if you're a true beginner, maybe you don't even know what a birth chart is, you don't know what I'm talking about. A birth chart is a really beautiful thing. It's the placements of the planets and certain asteroids, and it's just kind of a map of what was going on in the universe at the moment of your birth. That's why we're all different. No human is the same. No snowflake is the same. It's because at any given second, the universe is always moving and it is never the same. The reason your birth chart is so beautiful is because a birth chart is sort of like a map of your soul, right? Whenever I'm looking at someone's birth chart, I literally get so excited because I feel like I'm looking at their soul. I'm looking at their purpose, their life challenges. I'm looking at who they are, how they love, how they communicate, how they dress, how they eat. I'm looking at a lot of things about them, and that's really, really awesome. And I think it's actually kind of funny that so many people have come to me and asked me to, like, tell them about their birth charts, but they don't realize when they give me their exact time and exact date and exact place of their birth, they don't realize that they're literally letting me look at their soul. Like, it's actually a very intimate experience to read someone's birth chart. And it's almost really, there's something secretive about it or something. So I don't know, but I think that's also why we should learn how to read our birth charts for ourselves too. Of course, there are some amazing readers of birth charts in this world. Some people are incredibly intuitive and can look in a birth chart and tell you about past lives, and just people, no intuitive is the same. So if you go get your birth chart read by me and then go get your birth chart read by another person, we're going to tell you maybe some similar things, but our interpretation might be different, right? That's because no intuitive is the same. But anyways, your birth chart's going to show you the positions of the planets at the time of your birth. So most people already know their sun sign. Like, when people say, like, hey, baby, what's your sign, in a bar, and you say Scorpio, that's your sun sign, right? That's the sign that the sun was in at your birth. But what a lot of people don't know is there's way more to who you are than just your sun sign. That's why some people don't relate to their horoscopes or don't necessarily feel like a Scorpio or feel like a Virgo, and then that leads to their disbelief in astrology. They're like, that's fucking bullshit. That's not me. That's stupid. So some people feel like that, but they only know their sun sign and don't realize that there are so many other factors that factor into who they are, aka you have a Venus sign, which rules all things love, and it'll show you, you know, what kind of relationship you're looking for and what relationship is best for you, and it'll reveal some things about what you like in bed. And your Saturn sign is super important. It's what gives us insights about the great challenges of your life. And even your rising or ascendant sign is a major, major, major energy in your chart. So even though I'm a Pisces sun and moon, Cancer still rules my chart because I have a Cancer ascendant. So if you've never seen your birth chart, I want you to pause this podcast or maybe do it after this podcast. In the show notes, there's a link to a website that I use frequently. It's called Cafe Astrology, and you can make your birth chart on this website. All you need is three things. You need your birthday, your time of birth, and your place of birth. Now, make sure you know the exact time of your birth. Like, get your mom or dad or whoever to take a screenshot of your birth certificate and send it to you to make sure you have the exact time, because the time matters, okay? A lot of planets move really fast, especially the moon, and if you have the wrong time, your birth chart could be wrong. So once you're looking at your chart, get excited, because like I said, this is the literal map of your soul, which is so cool. And your birth chart, you know, I mean, maybe, but your birth chart is really not going to tell you, like, on July 29th, 2031, you'll be married, and by 2035, you'll have 5 dogs and be living in Wisconsin. So it's never going to tell you those specific things, but it's going to tell you who you are in relation to the universe. And we are all influenced differently by the universe, and again, this is why we're all different, and we're all special little snowflakes. So now, if you're on the Cafe Astrology website, you can scroll down and you can look at your descriptions of your birth charts, and these descriptions are pretty good, especially if you're a beginner. It'll just give you a little taste of what your planetary placements mean for you, but it's not the whole enchilada, right? Like, to really get a true birth chart reading, you're going to have to really dive deep. Like, this is like a soul journey to learn about your birth chart, and I find it a really fulfilling soul journey for me to keep learning about my birth chart almost every day. But you can also, you know, you can go to a birth chart reader, you can get your friends to help you, your witchy friends to help you, like me. If you have any questions about your birth chart, you can let me know. You can also get this book, which I've had for 10 years. Get this, I've had this book since I was 12 years old, and I've read it at least 20 times, I think. It's called The Only Astrology Book You'll Ever Need by Joanna Martine Woolfolk. I think that's how you say her last name. And yeah, like I said, like, I've been using it for over a decade. It's kind of how I got started with astrology. I'll put it in the show notes. It's a really good book for beginners. Highly recommend, especially if you're wanting to get into your birth chart and learn more about mythology stories. I find it's really good for that too. So getting back to your chart, if you're looking at your Cafe Astrology chart, by the way, there's a million websites to get your chart done. I just kind of like Cafe Astrology's because it'll give you all those descriptions, and some websites don't do that. But you'll see on the right side of your chart, you'll see in a line, you have your Sun, your Moon, your Mercury, your Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, right? You'll see all the planets down on, sorry, that's the left side of your chart. And then you'll also see an asteroid listed, Lilith. I can tell you what that means. And then on the right side of your chart, you'll see your ascendant or rising sign. And then you'll see the astrological houses 2 through 12 that follow. So now you're probably like, Mal, I'm already fucking lost. What the hell does this all mean? I thought you were going to teach me this shit. Well, okay, stay tuned, because in my third podcast, it's going to be dedicated to decoding the birth chart and making it very accessible to someone who is just a beginner in astrology. So no worries. I'm just kind of giving us a little taste right now, and I also want to relate it back to Peter Pan. But actually, the part of your birth chart that I really want you to grasp today, and I really want you to think about before I make the third podcast, which will be about our birth chart, right now, just today, don't worry about your Sun, don't worry about your Moon, Mercury, Venus. I mean, you can worry about it if you're really interested. But what I really want you to grasp today is at the bottom left corner of your birth chart, it says ascendant node, and this is most commonly called your north node. Now, until recently, I completely overlooked this part of my chart until I realized it's literally like one of the most important things, if not the most important thing, in your birth chart. Because your north node tells you why your soul chose to be here. It tells you about the lessons you're going to have to learn in this life. And then on the flip side, if we have a north node, we must also have a south node. And your south node is kind of like the opposite of your north node, right? Your south node is what the Swiss psychologist Carl Jung, he would call this kind of a shadow side. So that's a part of yourself, subconscious, that maybe you don't really want to deal with, or just parts of your subconscious that affect you subconsciously. But also the north node can also have to do with the subconscious and the shadow side. But basically, to put it in layman's terms, the south node is the most comfortable blanket that you have. It is your snuggie. It is your snuggie on a cold winter's night. You're sitting by the fire and you're wrapped up in your snuggie and you're just so comfortable. And why would you leave that state? Seriously, that's like the dream there. That's my dream. I don't want to leave my snuggie. That's like your comfort zone, right? Now, your north node, so this is, again, the thing why your soul chose to be here. Your north node is if someone pulled that snuggie off of you, made you put on your swimsuit and go stand outside in a blizzard. Okay? It's like your life challenge. This is what you're working towards. This is why you reincarnated here. And as the stories go, the south node are the side of ourselves that, or some of our characteristics that we've carried over from like a past life. Also, if you don't believe in past lives, that's totally okay. I think it's a hard concept to grasp, and I recently had a deep hypnosis therapy session where I revisited one of my past lives. And maybe I can make a episode about that. I don't know if that would interest anybody. But yeah, it's something that you don't have to believe in it if you don't want to. I think you can still fulfill your life's purpose and your soul's purpose now, even if you don't want to go back into your past lives or you don't want to believe in it. I think you can still do some really good work with your soul in this life. And it's certainly a very woo-woo thing to most people, and most people would roll their eyes at it. Me, I believe in it. like a Catholic believes in the Eucharist, but but it's just, that's just me. So again, we have this Snuggie, we have the South Node, and then we have the North Node, which is a bikini in the middle of the blizzard. Now, you're probably like, well, my birth chart says Ascendant Node, let's say Scorpio, because my Ascendant Node or North Node is Scorpio. So let's just use me as an example. You're probably like, well, why doesn't it list the South Node? Well, because it is assumed in astrology that if you have the North Node, you already know your South Node because it's just the opposite sign. So say if your North Node, if your North Node is Scorpio, your South Node is Taurus, and vice versa. If your North Node is Pisces, South Node Virgo, vice versa. Aries, Libra, Cancer, Capricorn, Leo, Aquarius, Gemini, Sag. I think I got them all. Yeah. So whatever your North Node is, know that your South Node is just the opposite sign. Maybe this is a weird concept, but if you look at the wheel of astrology, all 12 signs in a wheel directly across your sign at about a 180 degree line, like you'll see your other sign, another sign that's exactly opposite to you on the wheel. That's your opposite sign. So I'm a Pisces. My opposite sign is a Virgo. I really value Virgos in this life because they're my opposite sign, right? They teach me shit that I need to learn. And I teach them shit that they need to learn. We kind of show each other our shadow sides, our subconscious selves. And that's why it is really important to make friends maybe with someone who is in your opposite. Now, again, maybe a lot of people, I was thinking maybe a lot of people in listening to this have a Scorpio North Node because you might be my age. So I will post in the show notes a website that shows you the charts of your South Node and North Nodes if for some reason you can't find it on your birth chart. But if you were born between February 2nd, 1994, in July 31st, 1995, you are also like me. You have your North Node, Scorpio, South Node, Taurus. And this is because maybe some people have the same placement as me who are listening to this, especially if you're one of my college friends. Maybe we're on the same page with why our souls chose to come here. A lot of the challenge of being a Scorpio North Node, Taurus South Node is in the fact that Taurus is a very comfortable sign for us, right? So no matter what your sun sign is, maybe in this life you really like to be comfortable. You really like your snuggie. You're more attached to your comfort zone than everybody else is, if that makes sense. Like in my life, in the first 23 years of my life, I love to be comfortable. I love to be in my comfort zone. I find it really hard to get out of my comfort zone. I would prefer to just be by myself all the time. I prefer no human contact except over podcasts. And I also like good food that nourishes me. I like the finer things in life. I like going out to nice dinners or going shopping and la, la, la. So that all has to kind of do with the side of Taurus that's very much clings to their comforts, right? So this is what we have to get out of, right? This is our snuggie that we have to strip off. And then we have to go outside in our bikini in the blizzard and become this Scorpio energy that we're really meant to bring to the world. Now, because I'm a student, I'm still learning what this means for me. And I'm also only 23. My chart hasn't fully bloomed yet. Some astrologers don't think that you really come fully into your chart until you're like 28, 29, 30, which is like after you have your Saturn return. I'll talk about Saturn return and what that actually means in the third episode when we go super in depth about birth charts. But anyways, yeah, I don't exactly know what that means for me. I mean, Google Scorpio North Node if you have this placement, or go on YouTube and search in YouTube Scorpio North Node. There are like at least dozens of videos that astrologers have made about this phenomenon. And this is your assignment. Find out your North Node, find out your South Node. What does it mean? And also, can you connect it to your childhood happiness, your childhood spirituality? Because I guarantee if we start getting back into our souls as a child, we'll also be able to reach our soul in a way that we can get back to why our soul chose to come here. And again, that's all about the message of the North Node. I'm sorry if any of that was really confusing. I hope I was making it accessible, but if it wasn't too accessible, I promise I'm going to try really hard in the third episode to make the science of reading your own birth chart super easy and super accessible. But that's the fact of the matter, is this science is extremely mathematical. It's extremely intuitive. It's almost like if you were painting a beautiful picture and also doing the calculations on a calculator, like your left hand is on a calculator and your right hand has a paintbrush. That is the science of astrology, right? It has a lot to do with intuition, but it's also very mathematical. So that makes it rather inaccessible to a lot of people. So I hope what I was saying makes sense. And also, in finding our North and South Node and getting back to our childhood, I think we can start our spiritual work maybe early. And here's why I say that. I think part of one of my purposes is to help the people my age or the younger generation kind of start their spiritual work earlier, so we can be more efficient about what we're supposed to be doing in the world, right? Or like I said in the first podcast, our world is in a time of turmoil, and we're really in need of healers and people in tune with their spirituality, people in tune with the microcosm and the macrocosm. And I feel as though if we can awaken to what our birth chart is saying and what our childhood is saying early, we can help more people. We have more time to help others, if that makes sense. And I think most people don't even start their spiritual work until they're like 30 or 40. And honestly, the way the world is going, I don't think our generation has that time. Like, I don't think we can wait till we're 30 or 40 to start our spiritual work. I think we should start it now. We need to get to the root of why we are here. What is the challenge I'm trying to conquer? You know, what are the struggles I need to deal with? And I think this is really what that podcast is about. It's kind of about getting the younger people like me to awaken to our spiritual work together and work through it. So yes, go watch Peter Pan too. Get your birth chart, check out that North Node, South Node, read Peter Pan, watch Hook, watch Peter Pan, start reading into your birth chart, and let's get really excited for this third episode, because I'm already excited. Obviously, birth charts are my favorite thing in the world to talk about, besides tarot cards, and we can also do an episode about that. See, this podcast is just going to go on forever, guys. Even if you stop listening to me, it's just going to keep going, because I have so much to talk about and share with you. But if you listened a second time, hopefully I'll see you in the third episode.